Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking about a magistrate in Jessamine County's fiscal court that we lost not long ago. Birch Hager will be our subject today. We'll talk about his life and what he contributed to this community with his daughter Misty right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday as we continue to learn about people, places, and things in our county and how it all fits together. Today we're going to talk about a fella who was around for a while in our county. He was a native and unfortunately lost him not long ago. We're going to talk about that situation too. But he was what's called a magistrate on our fiscal court here in Jessamine County. And for those people that may be listening that are from another county, or maybe we even have some people that listen to us out of state. The way Jessamine County government runs is in the city of Nicholasville, you have a mayor and a city commissioner. Well, in the county, for Jessamine County, you have a legislative body that kind of takes care of that business, and that's headed by the Jessamine County Judge Executive. And then you have magistrates, and each one of those magistrates are responsible for a certain portion of your county. There's six of them in our county. This guy was a magistrate in the 5th District, which is down in the southeast part of Jessamine County. It included a big area, and we'll get into that too. But his name was Birch Hager, and lost Birch a few weeks ago. His daughter Misty is here. We're going to talk about his life and his contributions to our community. Good morning.
Morning.
Glad you're here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We are going to reminisce a little bit here about your dad, and I guess the best way to start, because Hagers are like crabgrass. It's everywhere. I mean, your Hagers are they're akin to all kinds of people, and there's a bunch of them. And so to make sure that everybody knows what group we're talking about, let's talk about maybe Birch's parents or even grandparents. Tell us some of the family history before we get to him. So if we have any listeners out there, it's been a while, they can recognize who this is.
So Dad grew up in the Mount Lebanon area.
Yeah.
He was the son of Bob Hager and Mariana Dandy Hager.
Uh-huh.
My grandpa worked for many years at Gulf States.
Yeah.
And my grandmother worked for many years at Nicholasville Elementary in the school cafeteria. And that's his parents.
Yeah. Now, his dad was Bob.
Bob.
Right.
Correct.
Was he just at Gulf States, or was there other things he was involved with?
Prior to Gulf States, he ran a plaster business.
Yeah.
And farmed, but Gulf States where he made his career.
That was
at
his main thing.
Correct.
All right. Now, those two grew up and lived in Mount Lebanon, as you said.
Right.
How many children did they have?
They had Bobby, who died as an infant.
Uh-huh.
And Terry, Johnny, most people know him as Frog.
Right.
Jan, and then my dad was the youngest.
So there's five of them.
Right.
And there's just, so the first one you said died as an infant. Who was that?
Bobby.
Is it just him and your dad that are gone? The other three still here?
Terry passed away in 2000.
Oh, I knew that.
13.
14. Yeah. Okay. Big horse rider, wasn't
yes,
he? Yeah.
Yes.
So Frog's still here, and the sister.
Yes, Jan.
Yeah, okay, Jan.
Most people know Jan from McDonald's.
McDonald's. My gosh, she was there for a long time, wasn't she?
Yeah, a long time, 30-something years.
Wow. All right, so they have these kids, and they raise them up just like every other parent in Jessamine County, and along comes your dad, Birch. Now, is that a family name? Do you know?
I don't think it's a family name that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
That's just the name they picked. I'm not sure how they got it.
Okay.
But he did make his own middle name.
And that was?
Allen.
Yeah.
Because he went to grade school at Crispin Mill.
Uh-huh.
And for Christmas, there was another Birch Hager, and my dad got tired of him getting all the presents. And so he went home when he was a little boy and said, I want to change my name, and I want Allen to be my middle name, so I can get Christmas presents at school.
What about that? And they did.
So they did.
Isn't
so that's how he become of a Birch A instead of just Birch.
That's amazing. Now, did he go by any other? Because you know Johnny goes by Frog. Everybody knows him as Frog. Did your dad have any nicknames?
No,
people
he didn't
him?
Have any nicknames.
Yeah,
just Birch.
But make sure it had that A in
but
the
But he
middle.
Made sure it had that A in it.
Right. Now, he grew up, did he go to Mount Lebanon School?
He
you
went
know?
To Crispin Mill School.
Okay.
And then when they transferred over to... He went to the high school here in Jessamine County.
Which was Jessamine County High, way
correct.
Before the split, which was... What year was he born, by the way?
He was born in 1958.
Okay. So he would, let's see, 58 and 18, he would have graduated 68, what, 70...
He was...
Three or four, somewhere near?
He was supposed to graduate in 75, I think.
Yeah, okay.
But he ended up... he didn't graduate high school... But he was very proud that he got his GED.
GED, sure.
In 2004, he got his GED.
Great.
And he was very proud that he'd done that and very excited.
Now, as a teenager, this is a farming family, I'm assuming.
Right.
They do some farming, and he probably was involved in that. When he got out of school, when he decided not to do that anymore, what did he do?
He farmed, raised tobacco, helped with the store.
Yeah.
But mostly working on the farm and working in tobacco. When he was younger, he used to break horses for people.
Yeah, it's a hard job.
So he used to do that a lot. He worked at what's Link Belt now, but it used to be FMC for a
mm-hmm,
while.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started working for Hager Construction, Gary Dean Hager.
Oh, yeah.
And he worked there for probably over 15, 16 years before he started working at the city.
Now, you mentioned the store. What store are you talking about?
My grandparents, Bob and Dandy, ran a store down in Mount Lebanon.
Yeah.
Bob Hager's Grocery. It was the local hangout, you know, in Mount Lebanon for people to come eat lunch and
right.
Play pool and eat lunch and sit around and talk old stories. And the store building is still there.
Yeah.
And it's actually the Hickman Creek Coon Club now.
Yeah.
That, you know, that Dad was the president of, and they do a lot of different benefits and things out of that same store building. The store building was built in the early 60s.
Yeah. We actually, on our Grew Up in Jessamine County Facebook page, have had pictures of
yeah.
that store
yeah.
as the Coon Club,
right.
of course. Yeah.
Right.
So he helped out there. He did some farming and did a lot of things. But now at some point in time, and I don't know what year, and you're going to tell us, I guess, he ran into this girl, some young girl named Debbie. Where did that all come about?
Well, I think they was about 17 years old.
Yeah.
And they went on a date to the county fair, and she told me they never went on dates by themselves. There was always somebody with them.
Now, was that her daddy's doing or her mama's?
I don't think it was either one of them's doing, to be honest with you. But they didn't date very long.
Yeah.
And they started dating like in March of 75, and then they got married on October 31st of 75.
Really quick.
Yeah.
I'm assuming y'all probably went to school together
and
knew each other.
She
that
said
way.
That everybody told them that it wouldn't last, but they were married for 41 years.
41. Now, while we're on the subject of your mom, Debbie, tell us a little bit about her and who her parents were so people can remember them.
My mom is Debbie Parks Hager. Her parents are Bobby and Ann Parks,
mm-hmm.
and they live here in Nicholasville as well. They're well known to be at Hardee's,
right.
socializing during the mornings with the local hangouts there.
And everything Bobby Parks tells you is true, right?
Well, I don't know if we'll push it that far, but most of the time.
You know, you was talking about the store. We've had other programs about some old county stores, Briner's and different ones. I can remember Teeter's Grocery now. And, you know, that was truly back then, especially when he was a young boy, that you didn't come to town that often. You just didn't get in the car and run to Walmart like people do now. Back then, it truly was a hub of the community, and that's where people hung out, and that's where people gathered, and especially in times of tragedy, in times of bad times. They all kind of came together in a little country store, and it was very important for people in those communities to have those places to go to and have fellowship and friends. And I know since the store is gone, you mentioned the Coon Club, man, that tradition has carried on immensely there, hasn't it?
Yeah, Dad was a avid coon hunter. He coon hunted a lot.
Yeah.
He went to a lot of PKC hunts, which is Professional Kennel Club Association, all around the state and even out of state. He would qualify his dogs to hunt
yeah.
in the world hunt. And you had to make so much money to do that, mm-hmm. you know, off your dog. And his one dog actually finished in 2011 in the top 16 of the state.
Wow.
Which, you know, a lot of people don't understand that you can actually make money.
Yeah.
You know, coon hunting, it's not a, you know, just a pleasure sport, that people actually, you know, have earnings and win money. And, and his dog won enough money to be the top 16 of the state. But with that being said, a lot of people, the Coon Club does a lot of benefits for local people
right.
that are associated with the Mount Lebanon, Pollard area, and locals that, you know, have problems in their family, either somebody sick or a death, or, you know, just hit hard times and need some extra money. And in 1 year, the Hickman Creek Coon Club donated over $10,000 to local people. And that's just, you know, bring something to eat, pay for a plate, and then people donating and bringing things to auction.
Yeah.
A lot of time local businesses will donate, you know, stuff to auction off. And, you know, it's been a big benefit for the community. You know, lots of people come and are amazed if they haven't been there at how many people, you know, we have sometimes 200 or 300 people, you know, piled up inside the little store outside in tents. So it's pretty big event whenever we do have benefit for somebody.
Right. That's amazing.
And Dad really liked doing that. The other thing he liked doing out of that Coon Club was they had a youth hunt every year.
Yeah.
And so it the kids could come hunt for free, and every one of them won a trophy.
Cool.
So lots of kids that, you know, are older now, you know, in their 20s, have trophies when they were little kids from the time they were five or six all the way up till they, you know, didn't think it was cool anymore to get a trophy. So, but he really liked doing that too, doing the youth hunts.
Yeah, but you know, Misty, as you get older and a few years on you, you look back at those trophies and you start to appreciate them once again. Remember, the memories come back and what was involved from the good old days.
It hadn't been too long before Dad passed that when I was a young girl, I never was involved with horses. It wasn't my thing. I liked to play ball. But I always thought that I won the rescue race at the local Hoofinannies. And so my niece Savannah had got into, you know, my dad's granddaughter had got into riding horses, and I wanted to make her think I was, you know, real cool. And I was like, oh, Mimi's got all kinds of horse riding trophies. And my dad kind of looks at me and said, you do? And I said, yeah, I won the rescue race every year when I was a little girl. But come to find out, him and Paul Miller won the rescue race every year. And they, at the end, they just set me up on the barrel and give me the trophy like I won. And I was like in my 30s before I found out those really weren't my trophies.
But that didn't matter. They were happy, and it made them happy. Now, he, you mentioned, went to work for the city of Nixville, and he worked there for, well, I guess quite a few years, didn't he?
Right at 16 years that he worked for the city.
Yeah. What department did he get into?
He worked in the water and sewer department, and he started out there as just, you know, a laborer, you know, just doing the regular get down the ditch and all that.
Which he worked, Danny Johnson was his supervisor?
Danny Johnson was his superintendent when he started. And he worked there and, you know, worked his way up to be an operator and then worked his way up to be a supervisor. And then, you know, when he passed, he was actually, you know, the superintendent over the water. But he had certifications in water distribution for Class 3 and Class 4. And Class 4 is the highest you can go in the United States. And he was very excited. It was a very hard test. He studied and studied, you know, to get that. But once he got it, he could, I remember him saying specifically that he could go be a water distributor in the New York City. You know, anywhere in the United States. It was based on the population of people, of how that classification worked.
You know, that's one of those things. It's kind of like a water is kind of like electric. It's kind of like sewer that we use so much every day and we take for granted. And you don't really think that there are people like your dad and others who every day are working hard to make sure that not only is that available to us, but it's clean in the water and it's it works right and it takes, you know, and those guys and ladies, too, all over the country to be commended because they're behind the scenes. They're not getting the credit, but they're doing some hard work, especially get one of those mains break, shooting everywhere, and you have to dig down, get in the mud and all that mess. So, yeah, it's it was a real job.
There's been many times that, you know, that we had to hold off our Christmas 4 or 5 hours that, you know, other people are having their Christmas, but they're out of water. And, you know, Dad and the water crew's out there fixing it. Just this past year before Dad passed, my mom's birthday's in December, and we had got cake and ice cream, and Dad got called out, so I gave him her gift while he was out working. Well, you know, and a lot of people don't realize.
They don't, and you can't just say, well, I'll get to it in a few hours. It got to be done right then. It's kind of like a fireman needing to fight a fire. You got to do it right now and get it fixed.
Exactly.
How did he decide? Well, before I do that, we talked about how he met your mom. Now, at some point in time, those two decided to have some kids.
Right.
So tell me about the children from Birch and Debbie. Let's start with your sister.
My sister Valerie was born in March of 1975.
Mm-hmm. Is she the oldest?
She's the oldest. Okay. And then I'm the middle child. I was born in December of 76.
Yeah.
And then my brother was born, Josh. He was born in December of 83.
Okay. Oh, he was a few years behind you.
Yeah, so he's quite a bit younger than us. And then my sister passed in a car accident in 2010 on Crispin Mill, you know, where we grew
up. Right.
But she had two children that my dad, you know, he thought they hung the moon.
Well, of course.
Today's Tyler's 21st birthday, actually.
21. Oh, my goodness.
And recently married. And then my niece, Savannah, she's 14 going on 30.
I got a child like that.
But he thought that they hung the moon. They didn't do any wrong.
Yeah. So, well, that's being a granddad.
And then, so that was our family.
How old was Valerie when she died?
She was 35.
And what did she have a job outside the home at that time?
She didn't have a job outside the home at that time, but she worked for a few years and a long time at Walmart when she was growing up.
Yeah.
She worked several years at Walmart.
And what's Josh been up to? You got an occupation?
He's actually just started a new job.
Good.
Thing about Josh, he can do anything he wants to do as long as he sets his mind to it.
Yeah.
I used to tell Daddy all the time he can do whatever he wants to do as long as he sets his mind to it.
Right.
I wish I could do like that.
Now, you said how much younger is he than you?
He is 6-7 years younger.
Yeah,
than me.
So by the time he came along, you guys were, there's a new doll in the house to play dress up with.
Yeah, we actually one time Dad was babysitting and Mom was working and we like to fight. And
Imagine that.
Me and my sister was fighting over Josh. He was real little. And we actually pulled his arm out of socket.
Oh, my goodness.
So Mom got home, and he was crying and carrying on. And they ended up taking the hospital, and we had pulled his arm out of socket.
Yeah.
Because, we acted like he was a doll.
Well, I asked about each one of them. What have you been up to in all these years since high school? Now, let's go back to the high school days, because you mentioned you played softball, and you played for a team that did pretty daggone good. Tell us about that.
I played for the 93 state championship team. At the time, was the first team from Jessamine County to ever win state championship.
In any sport.
In any sport. And so I played on that. You know, that championship team.
Was Jay Buffin your coach?
Jay Buffin was my coach, mentor.
Yeah.
Still call him a good friend.
Sure.
And it was a great time. And then I also played on travel team out of Lexington for several years.
Yeah.
And basically been all over the United States, you know, playing softball.
Right.
That's why my old leg hurts these days.
Well, but it was good times.
It was good times. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and Dad used to coach. You know, I started out playing baseball with the boys, and I played baseball with the boys until I was going into Babe Ruth, and kind of that year they all hit their growing spurt, and I was just a scrawny little girl, so I decided to start playing softball and actually started high school softball when I was in seventh grade.
Yeah.
But Dad coached me all the way up until I started playing high school, and then he coached Josh all the way up. He coached a couple years, me and Valerie together, and then he also, most recently, him and I coached together and coached my nephew, his grandson.
Wow.
In early 2000s, when Tyler was 9 or 10 years old, we coached minor league together, me and him together.
Cool.
So it was pretty fun.
Sure it is. Those days, my oldest daughter, was the softball player in our family. And she played, I guess I coached her from the time she was about 4 or 5 until she started high school ball, which she was in 8th grade. And I know that was one thing that in our lives that we always will have in common. You know, a lot of times, especially dads and little girls, you know, they don't have the dance in common, or they don't have the other activities that girls do or boys do. But we did, and we've got that in common. So it means a allotted special time to be able to share it with him, especially to go on and coach with him, too. So that was very interesting. What have you done other than that? Now, we talked about softball, but, you know, occupations?
I worked at McLean for almost 20 years as a supervisor. And I most recently worked at Rocky Top Furniture in Lancaster. And I've accepted a new position that I'll be starting later this month with Republic Services over in Danville.
Cool.
So stayed local, you know, just.
That's all right. That's all right. Now, your dad, we get back to him a minute. He's working in for the city of Nixville. And at some point in time, he made a decision that he wanted to try to be a magistrate for the fiscal court of Jessamine County. Do you know what brought that on? Is there any particular reason, or he just decided he wanted to serve?
I think it was more that he thought he had the ability to help people.
Yeah.
And he wanted to be in a position to be able to help people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that led him into wanting to be a magistrate.
Yeah. What year was that? Did he become a magistrate?
He became magistrate in 2010. He was sworn in 2011.
Yeah, to start his first. So he was, let's see, he 11 to 14. He was on his second term, I guess.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the fiscal court. Folks, fiscal court job is, it's not an easy one. You got to deal with a lot of things because, you know, when you deal with not only your own district and things that happen in the whole county, for that matter, and a lot more involved than you would ever think. Did he enjoy it as much as he thought he would?
I think he really enjoyed it, but I think he was a lot more work than he anticipated it was going to be, too. You know, there was times that, you know, not only was his phone ringing because they had a water leak, but the phone was ringing because somebody in his district had a culvert they needed fixed or needed a sign put up that children are at play. Or somebody even in another district was calling him because they knew that, you know, he would try to help them even though he wasn't in their district.
Right. And that's important to do because we're all, when you get right down to it, we're all Jessamine County.
Right.
That's the bottom line. Before I get back into too many more questions, let's talk about what happened just a few weeks ago with your dad. How old was Birch when he died?
He was 58.
And suddenly?
Yeah, he was out coon hunting with Josh Teeter, who's been his right-hand man for several years. He took Josh under his wing when he was a boy, and they coon hunted a lot together. And I had talked to him. I had been mad at him because I'd had a procedure done. He didn't come see me. And then Mom called to tell me the night before he was on my way to my house to see me.
Yeah.
And so he stayed for a long time. And then the next night he had cooked a big mess of fish, and I had called and asked him what they were having for supper, and he said, "Well, we got fish." And he said, "You want to come down and eat?" And I said, "No, I think I'll just stay around the house, fix me a pot pie. I don't feel like driving."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Well, I'll bring you a plate up there." And I said, "No, that's all right." And he started laughing, said, "Well, good, I was going to go coon hunting anyways." And then probably an hour later, I get a call from Mom saying that, you know, he's sick and, you know, get to the hospital. And and he had, you know, had been coon hunting. And from what I understand from Josh, his dog already had a coon treed, and, you know, he went out the way he'd want to go out, so right in the middle of the woods.
And that's what I was just thinking. You know, first off, we must say, it doesn't matter how old or how young a person is, families are never ready for death. You're just not. Whether it's sudden or whether it's prolonged, there's no good way. But when you look at situations, there's not a lot of people who are able to know that a family member left this world doing something they really love. But boy, he did, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Could you think of any other, if he got to choose, could he have chosen any other way?
Absolutely not. That would definitely be the way he wanted to go out. And when I look back at the time between my sister passing and some other people in our family passing, my dad had joined church out at Bethel.
Yeah.
And he had got real close with Brother Bill. Lots of people in the community know Brother Bill.
Oh, yeah, Bill Bales.
And he actually got baptized in the Kentucky River.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look back on it, and I think that I would have never dreamed of my dad being excited to go to church every Sunday morning.
Yeah.
You know, but he was. He really enjoyed going to Bethel, you know, and that gives me peace of mind knowing that I know where he's at. And
exactly.
He went out exactly the way he would want to go. He didn't suffer.
Yeah.
And, Yeah. It could have been worse.
It could have been.
On his way and,
exactly.
You know, so.
Yeah, and if it has to happen, you hope it happens in the best scenario. And in this situation, I guess it did. One of the questions that I have asked on this program before, and you know, it kind of catches people somewhat off guard, but I'll ask you, if you had to describe your dad in a couple of words, what comes to mind? How would you, as a daughter, describe him?
Stubborn.
Oh, really?
And I would say that...
You're not like him, are you?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. I'd say that, and I'd say that if he thought he was right, he was gonna stand by what he thought till the very end. He would not give up if he thought that he was right about something, that, you know, he was going to fight you to the end about that. And I think that one of the things that amazed me when he passed was I always thought he was awesome. He was my dad.
Sure.
But I didn't realize how many other people thought that, too.
It's a good feeling, Ed.
Right.
It's a good feeling. You know, my dad's been gone, oh, gosh, 10 years this summer, as a matter of fact. And there's still days when people will look at me and they'll say, you kin to Hired Fane? And it gives you a lot of pride when you're able to say, yeah, that's my dad. And
I usually don't have people ask me if I'm kin to him. They'll look at me and say,
they know, don't
you're Bert Tager's daughter, aren't you? Because they say as long as I'm alive, he'll never die.
Well, so. You're right. You look a lot like your dad. You sure do. Mm-hmm. You sure do. Good fellow. He contributed a lot to our community. Folks, I think we underestimate a lot of times the job that our magistrates and our people do like that. Because, you know, we hear a lot about your city leaders a lot because it's in the forefront, but the county people you don't hear too much about, but when you do, it's important work, and it's a job, and boy, I tell you what, not only that, he was serving the people of Nicholasville too with his job at the city. He just was in coaching ball. I guess one of the words you'd have to say is just service.
Yeah.
In a lot of different ways, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he never would take credit for it either.
Yeah.
You know, like he didn't want people to know that, you know, how much this Coon Club raised, or, you know, he would just sit back and let other people, you know, take the credit for it.
Yeah. Good raising right there.
Right.
Good raising. Well, believe it or not, I told you time would go quick, didn't it? It does. It goes fast.
It does.
But I appreciate you coming in, and we appreciate being able to remember Birch and what he meant to our community and to not only the Mount Lebanon Pollard area, but all over the county, because his hand is in a lot of, his fingerprints are on a lot of things that have to do with the fiscal court decisions that have been made and the city. And you may be sitting listening to us right now, and, you know, water pipe that broke may have been fixed by him or supervised or whatever. So he touched a lot of people. Maybe none even realize that he touched a lot of people. And that's something to certainly remember and be proud of, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
My thanks to Misty Hager for coming in and sharing about her dad, Birch, and her family. I appreciate you coming in, too, and listening to All Things Jessamine every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. We'll do it again next week. Also, remind you that I'm on every weekday morning from 6 until 8, right here on Jess FM 105.9.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.